League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Do you want to see the size of my new phone?
Oh, I'm so glad you said phone. Yeah, let's compare it.
But I don't think it is. It's smaller, isn't it?
Smaller than mine by about a fraction of an inch.
Wow, that's an intro, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 23 of the Tottenham Way Podcast. It's an El Clasico this week, which means it's just me and Dan Kilpatrick. Hi, mate.
Hello, mate.
You all right?
I'm all right, thanks.
We're a day late this week, and anyone that follows us on Twitter will know why that is. But do you want to explain why we're...
It's not that exciting.
It's not exciting,
just
but...
I moved house and I had to wait at home yesterday for my bed.
Is it...
arrive.
And did it arrive?
It did arrive. Actually, I could... You know what? I forgot to message you. It came at like 2 o'clock.
Ah.
So the time slot was 2 to 9pm. So I was like, I can't do the pod. Can't commit to the pod.
Mm.
Because had it come at 8:30 and I left to do the pod, I wouldn't have had a bed.
Yeah.
But it came on time. So thanks very much, John Lewis, if you're listening.
Get in, John Lewis. But you also had something else on yesterday as well, didn't you, to be fair? Which could
I
have
did,
put
yeah,
your pod...
Much more relevant... to the pod.
Yeah, yeah. So go on. What and the article itself is just.
Yeah, I've just tweeted it. Actually, it's just I interviewed Harry Kane yesterday. I sat down with him for about 15 to 20 minutes, and I wrote a long write up for ESPNFC.co.uk, which is where you can read it this afternoon. And I've just tweeted that. It's just gone online, and I wrote a news story with kind of some of the best quotes about Pochettino for this morning, and I think when I get home tonight. I'm going to the pub, so this might not happen. But I think I'm going to write another news story with some of the stuff I left out. Because obviously when you speak to someone for that amount of time, you do end up with a long transcript of stuff.
Was it just you? Was it exclusive access for you?
It was. Or? There were a few others there. The Moose was there from TalkSport. I think he did a video. And Jack Pitbrook was there from The Independent. And he went after me. So
okay.
My
so you do get your own time.
Yeah, the stuff on ESPN, you won't be able to find it anywhere else. The stuff that Kane says. He said it to me only.
You seem like this is really everyday stuff to you now, isn't it?
Not really.
I don't know. I mean, you speak to Poch every week, in a sense.
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever sat down one-on-one with a Tottenham player, and it's just been me. After every single game, you normally get to speak to a Spurs player in what's called the mix zone, which is where the journalists stand after the game. But it's normally always you and about two or three others, like Ben Pearce, who came on the pod a few weeks ago, is almost always with me, and one or two others. And so you have about 5 minutes in the mix zone, and you'll tend to share the questions around, so you might only get one or two questions. On this occasion, it was just me and Harry for 50 minutes,
yeah.
All my questions. So I had to keep it moving, and it was all on me to try and get the good stuff. Because it is really all about the questions. Footballers, especially ones as media trained as Harry Kane, are really good at saying nothing.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying I'm fantastic at it, or journalists are... gods who deserve footballers' wages, but we do.
You are a bit.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, you can't just sit there and say, "Tell me about Liverpool," because he will just talk for a long time without saying anything at all.
Do you think it's amazing how someone kind of, you know, a young guy making his way in a career as ridiculous as football is, if you like, can be media trained? You know, even I used to think it of someone like Lampard, who was, by all accounts, quite an intelligent guy, but he used to straight bat questions in the same way as any other footballer would, regardless of background, you know, clear education, anything like that. And it seems as if it's one of the things that clubs have to do with footballers now. And with Kane, I guess as soon as they realised he was going to be a superstar and he was scoring loads of goals, he did become a bit of a spokesperson for Spurs, didn't he? So, do you see
that's
any...
one of the problems with Kane, I think.
Do you think?
I say that in the nicest possible way, because Kane does a lot of media. So I think even before me and Jack and the Moose interviewed him exclusively yesterday, he did something with Ian Ladyman in the Mail Online and Daily Mail about 2 or 3 days before. And a lot of footballers will do kind of one sit down a season, or maybe two, one every 6 months. But Kane tends to do them almost once a month. So he does a lot of interviews.
Does he do more than any other Spurs player,
say? Yeah, I think so. And that's definitely to his credit. Like, I've heard people say, he needs to shut up and get on with playing football.
Who's saying that?
You know, idiots on Twitter when things aren't going well.
God's sake.
If Kane comes out. But it's really to his credit. And one of the things that I wrote in my longer piece was that after the defeat at Newcastle, after the 5-1 last season, we'd obviously trekked up there and we were standing in the mix zone and we knew that there was pretty much no chance that any players were going to stop. And we were just hoping we'd get to speak to someone, because in many ways that's the whole reason you've gone up there.
Mm.
Because ESPN could take a match report off the Press Association, and really what they want is quotes afterwards.
Mm.
But then Kane fronted up and came out and spoke to us. And that's to his credit, because I think he recognises that it's what we want and it's really, really useful.
Mm.
But it's a challenge to get new stuff out of Kane, because what can you ask Kane that hasn't already been asked, that he hasn't already spoken about?
So what did you ask? Without giving too much away for the article,
well, no, I don't
of course.
Mind.
But...
Yeah, I spoke to him about fatherhood and about Pochettino and about this season versus last season, and then I wanted to pull it all together with a kind of running thread of maturity.
Mm.
So obviously he's a new father, he's got lots of responsibilities, he's a young guy, but actually he's a really senior figure in that Tottenham team. And I think you'll probably agree that a kind of running theme of this season from Pochettino has been, we're more mature than last season. He's said that a lot.
Yeah.
And
I guess he benchmarks someone like Kane with that, doesn't he?
Yeah. But yeah, I think he is media trained. And actually the interesting thing, talking to Jack, who's a tremendously good journalist who works for The Independent, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but he interviewed Harry Winks about a week ago.
Yeah.
And
wasn't it him and someone
him and
else?
Dave Heitner from The Guardian.
And
we walked to the bus stop afterwards and he said, we were having the same conversation. He said, actually, it's interesting, Winks isn't that media trained yet. But he said, you know, there's a chance he might stay like that forever. Some players never really get media trained and learn to straight bat everything. But Jack said, maybe he'll learn the hard way. He'll slip up and he'll get caught out on something. And then after that, it's a lot more platitudes and a lot more...
Yeah, Winks's interview was talking about Carter Vickers clattering into Poch and stuff like that, wasn't it? Which isn't really anything that bad, is it, necessarily? You know, that's a really nice thing to hear.
I think a journalist's job would be so much easier if players kind of appreciated that a lot of the time all you want is one or two details.
Mm.
And that's what makes any piece.
Mm.
In fact, I'm probably going to put it in my... I haven't included it, but Kane said one thing which I really... almost the most interesting thing he said was that I asked him what Poch did at half-time, and he said he often shows videos of the first half at half-time.
Really?
And I was like, what? Tell me more about that. And he was like, yeah. So in the press box, sort of where I normally sit, there are a couple of guys, and I knew they were analysts for Spurs. I know one of their names. And they sit there on their computers, and they're sort of heads down the whole first half and the whole second half. And I assumed they were analysing the game for kind of Monday.
Opta, yeah, or
well, yeah, but I knew they were Spurs analysts.
Oh, I see.
But I
yeah.
thought it would be for sort of Monday's meeting or next week. But quite often, Kane said, they'll go into the dressing room and Pochettino will get the videos up of the first half and say, defenders, you're pushing up too high, or Kane, you need
no
Harry,
way.
You need to drop deeper.
And that's amazing.
And that's a great detail that unfortunately I wasn't really talking about tactics in from my longer piece. Or if I was, I would have seized on that a bit more. I was talking about
Do you know of any other club that does
sure,
it? If you're
I'm
supposed
sure.
if you don't know Spurs.
I don't know.
Doing,
I didn't know Spurs did it.
It'd be interesting to know that, though, because that feels like a coaching-led decision. For someone to, you know... The only other managers I can imagine doing that in the league is probably Guardiola. That almost weird precision of
I imagine
attention
a lot
to detail.
I imagine Conte and Klopp might do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
Allardyce.
Pochettino... But Allardyce is
yeah,
a...
Yeah, I was going to say. That's what I mean. He's a forefront of technology.
Yeah, exactly.
That is interesting.
As far
though,
as I know,
really
Pochettino films every single training session he does and files it on his not his computer, like Perez's computer. Perez has got a MacBook with about 10,000 files of like Espanol day 400. So, like,
do you know that for a fact?
Well, more or
probably,
less.
Probably.
That was an exaggeration, but they do film everything, and so Pochettino can say to the players. He can literally say to the players, this training move, I want you to try and do it in the game. And he'll show them a sort of back to front that starts with the goalkeeper and ends with the striker. And he wants them to replicate that on the pitch in an actual match situation.
I love that. I love that. That's just a manager applying a week's worth of work to a game, isn't it?
Yeah.
And knowing what will work and what...
There's one goal actually that was straight off the training pitch, and I can't remember. It was a goal you might remember where Spurs scored really early on at home toward the end of last season, and it was basically Lloris to Walker, who crossed, and Kane kind of glanced it into the far corner, I think, with his right foot.
Oh, I don't know. Last season?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm a bit
but
weird
was,
with this sort
that
of
was
stuff.
A goal
I don't remember.
They more or less practiced in training.
Right.
With Lloris doing a quick throw, Walker getting forward and then crossing from deep.
It's good to... This makes me feel, as a fan, this makes me feel like we're just in safe hands.
Mm.
You know, that football is detailed. And so many people say, you know, football's such a simple game. You know, you put it into your strikers, you get the guy that can score goals in the box and he scores goals. And it feels like we've got a perfect mix of that at the moment. It's like, yeah, that's great, but you've got to do X, Y, Z first to be able to get into that position. So it feels like we've got this perfect mix of almost science and just raw ability at the moment, which if we can keep developing and keep going with and stuff like that makes me just think we're probably on the right track really, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it's also part of the reason why when things... This is always the case, I suppose, but why at the beginning of the season when it didn't look like Spurs were clicking... And everyone was getting a little bit panicky, if you remember. It was like, oh, we're not going to be as good as last year. There was definitely a point 4 or 5 games in, or perhaps it was during that run in October and November, in fact, after the City game.
Yeah, after Kane got injured.
And I think Pochettino always kind of maintained complete faith. Mm. And I think he just knew that one or two things weren't quite right, but the ingredients were there and the...
And to look at it where we are now, when you consider that we're 9 points behind and you think of the games that we had in that period, you know, Pochettino sticking to that philosophy but simply not having Kane up top or Alderweireld in defence, we could easily be 9 points up on where we are now. Easily. Out of those 10, we had 10 games where we didn't win, wasn't it?
In all comps.
In all competitions, yeah. But I mean, 6 of those, let's say, were Premier League,
yeah.
I would imagine. You know, 6 games, you know, to get two more points than what we got in those games out of
draws
and
stuff. Well, we drew with West Brom, Bournemouth,
Leicester.
And
you
it's
think
easy
if
to
Kane
imagine.
Was playing in those games, you know, that Poch philosophy can only work so far if you've got the players on the pitch that are able to put it into action.
Yeah.
And you do just think like, that 9 points isn't actually that much when you've got a striker of Kane's quality in the team, is it? It's interesting. It's great. Finally on this, how was Kane as an interviewee?
Yeah, well, as I said, he is almost like the spokesman for Tottenham. I think you just said that.
Mm.
And he does a lot of media. So he's not the easiest person to try and get new, good material out of. And he's also a little bit, because of the media training, I think, he also is a little bit reluctant to give details. So as I said, that is what you want. You want more things like the videos at halftime. Mm. You want more things like Winks's stories. That's what really makes a piece colourful. And he's tends to be very positive and actually very articulate, but without giving a lot of the details that you want. But
sure.
I think he was good yesterday. I was happy with it. He was very strong on how Pochettino changed the club. And he said, the line which I used for my news piece this morning was, he said, he's ruthless if you cross him.
Mm.
Which was verbatim what Kane said. And obviously he just means, if you don't do what he wants, there's no going back.
Yeah.
And I think we knew that already.
Yeah, we've got more than enough case studies of this, haven't we?
Everyone knew it, but it was kind of nice to hear it from a player. I don't think a player has ever said that. Like, the squad is well aware that there's no going back. They know what's happening to those players when they're on the shit list.
Yeah.
I think...
Do you reckon it's like a farm when they know the sheep's being taken out back because he's no good no more? You know, the bolt in the head.
Yeah.
Everyone just looks the other way.
Just pretend, and then just gets back to work 5 minutes later.
Sorry, it got a bit dark.
Yeah, it did. But, you know, on the whole, it was good. And
where can we find the piece?
Oh, on ESPNFC.co.uk.
Wicked.
I've just tweeted it as well.
Cool. Let's move on to the weekend's game. So we beat Middlesbrough 1-0, which was a Kane penalty. It was 100 games, or that was Pochettino's 100th game in charge of Spurs. I have no stats on this, unfortunately. I've got no...
52 wins.
Is that right? So
yeah.
Okay, so it's officially a 52% win ratio in the Premier League. Good maths.
Mate, great maths. Harry was 49 wins. And there was actually quite a touching moment on
Sky
after the game where Harry chatted live to Poch.
Yep, seen the video.
And
of
had
this.
A bit of banter and said, "Oh, I'm gutted you beat me, Mauricio." I quite liked it.
Yeah, it was all right, actually. It was as a milestone game, was there maybe no better way of sort of seeing what Pochettino's done to Spurs than sort of you may not play particularly well, you may not play at the top of your capacity or the best of your capacity, but still won the game and fairly comfortably, would you agree? Or would you think it was a bit more hairy?
I think it was more comfortable than the scoreline suggested.
It wasn't quite the 1-0 battering. I think we've said it a couple of times, like a year ago almost to the day, we had that Watford game at home when Trippier won. And we battered them all over, and it was just a case of, you know, when to get that goal. But then even in years past, even with that, we could have battered teams and drawn 0-0 or even lost 1-0. That was always in our wardrobe, that losing 1-0 thing to Stoke or Hull or Wolves or all of these horrible, Wigan as well and Fulham, all these horrible teams that we've had at the Lane. But, you know, we just kept doing what we do. We plug away, we sort of probe channels, we don't get it forward too quickly, we spread it wide, we're like a metronome, isn't it? Just keeps coming back and ticking back all the time.
It was one of those games every now and then since sort of the middle of last season, I'm reminded that things are different now. And this was another game where it just kind of reminded me that the crowd's more patient now, the players are more patient now, they're more likely to get the job done. I think about 5 or 6 years ago, that might have been the kind
booze
of game
at half-time.
Under Harry, where frustration started to creep in about 10 minutes after half-time and everyone would start groaning and it would get back to the players, and that was when you lost 1-0.
Mm.
But actually, I know Kane scored around 60 minutes, but there wasn't really a lot of whinging apart from when Ben Davis passed it back from the halfway line to Lloris. Everyone stayed patient, and I think there was generally the view inside White Hart Lane in the stands and on the pitch that Spurs were going to find a way to win that.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's something, just to go back to Kane as well, or partly to do with Kane, that the patience seems to come with... So if we'd have won that game 3 years ago, if we'd have had that game against someone like Middlesbrough, and we'd have got a penalty in the 60th minute and we'd have scored it, it would have been Adebayor, say, that scored that penalty. That would have left people going away. Despite winning the game, people would have gone away annoyed because it should be more entertaining, we should be scoring more against these sort of teams. How did it take, you know, until 60 minutes for us to break down and, oh, it was only a penalty, that sort of stuff. But it almost feels like because it's Kane and it's like another goal for Kane at White Hart Lane and it's, you know, the one of our own stuff, that has afforded us a bit more patience. It's like, you know, like, chill out. If we only win 1-0 and it's Kane, that's almost better than winning 3 or 4-0 3 years ago with Soldado getting two penalties. And
but I also think,
you know,
I also think it's to do with what where Spurs are on the table. Like, you, when you know that you're probably not going to win the thing at the end of the season and all you've really got is battering the small teams, then you want to be beating them in style. But when you're going for the title and you've got serious things to play for, you sort of get to the point where all that matters is the 3 points.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people now at Spurs, again, on the terraces and on the pitch, and certainly in the dugout, have that mentality. They don't really care.
Mm.
So they really care, excuse me, how Spurs...
Sorry.
The kind of repressed burp.
You had an Ollie yeah. Mr. Burp moment there. Yeah.
They don't really care how Spurs win.
Yeah.
They want the 3 points. And
stakes are high, aren't they?
Yeah, stakes are high. That's it. That's where it should be. Like, it doesn't really matter if it's a Kane penalty or an Eric Edmund hat-trick of 40-yard screamers. Like, Spurs need to keep winning now. That's all.
Yeah.
That's what they've got to do if they want to win the title and even get
and Borough points. Don't concede, they don't score a lot of goals.
They're not pushovers,
they're not pushovers. They don't do anything away from home. But I think I said it last week, they drew at Man City, I think they drew at the Emirates, they pushed Man United really close. I think they only lost in the last 10 minutes at Old Trafford. So away from home against so-called big teams, they've actually done really well. So for us to sort of overcome that as well, with relative ease, I know it was a penalty, but it does feel as if it would have come eventually. But I think it's a really good result for us, actually. At 5:30, Liverpool had already lost. Arsenal had already lost as well. United were playing the next day. City were playing the next day.
Yeah.
That's the sort of game that we do slip up.
And also, it was a sort of game where, although I've just said the crowd was really patient and on board, it was a sort of game where if you draw 0-0 with a team from the Northeast for the second consecutive game, you know, it would have really soured the mood, I think. And it would have, you know, almost confirmed Chelsea as champions. And it, you know, Spurs needed to, it was a must win.
Yeah.
Every game's a must win. But it said something that, barring that Darun chance in the very last minute, which was a bit of a nervy moment, it never really fell in doubt.
Yeah.
And actually, the person I was sitting next to, one of my colleagues, was like, he doesn't watch Spurs, you know, every week. He just said that game went exactly as I would have predicted it going. Middlesbrough being completely unadventurous, playing for nothing.
Yeah.
Spurs having everything, and eventually either through a kind of scrappy goal or, you know, a great goal or spot kick, whatever, you know, just finding a way to do it. I'd agree with that, really.
Just let's talk about some individuals as well. I mentioned last week about Ben Davies taking over from Danny Rose up against Adama Traore, which last week I weirdly called the acid test, which I'd like to row back on, considering Sadio Mane is going to be up on Saturday. I don't know what I was doing, mate.
He's all right. And
he is. Davies or Traore?
Traore.
Yeah, he's...
I mean, he's... Actually, I thought he wasn't really a footballer. He was just a kind of...
runner with football
athlete,
boots.
Yeah. But the two best chances were quite tasty crosses he put in.
Yeah.
From
Do you
right.
feel like Davies did well with him? Because it was a direct opponent.
Yeah, I think he did all right. I think Poch was aware that he was going to be the main threat, and Dembele definitely was helping out Davies more than he perhaps would have done. I think Dembele was kind of, particularly in the first half, he was spending quite a lot of time over on that flank. And there were a couple of good sort of beast on beast Traore versus Dembele battles.
Yeah.
I think Davis did okay. I mean, we've had a bit of off pod. We've been having a bit of a debate about it, and I think Son was a big part of that game, and actually, he played as a traditional left winger, more or less. He was quite touchline hugging, and he was running at players. He was sort of pulling Chambers out of position, and it really compensated for the fact that Rose didn't play, and he did really well. Mm. And if he can do that while Rose is out, I think Davis will be fine, because then he can just play as the kind of defensive left back that he is, and not worry about attacking the space and. Mm.
And if Dembele's pulling across.
And I think Dembele was pulling across. So I think he did all right. And I don't really get the criticism of him. I understand the argument that Spurs could probably upgrade on him, but it would be bloody hard to find like an international left back who was defensively solid, who'd be happy to play 4 or 5 league games a season. It really would be hard. So I kind of sympathise with Ben.
Who can play 2 positions as well.
Yeah,
I've been harsh on Davis because he's not Danny Rose. In the same way as Janssen's not Kane, and the same way that Vorm is not Lloris. We've got a first team that is... We've seen it already. Our first team played against Chelsea at White Hart Lane. That team, you know, managed the game and eventually won pretty comfortably against Chelsea. And it's... I do feel harsh to say that, and you aren't going to fill a squad with players that are going to be backups that are as good as those players. It's just not going to happen. My problem is that I'm frustrated because I want to play 3 at the back and I want to have wing backs, and Ben Davis isn't going to be able to do that. Whereas Danny Rose can play left back in a 4 or left wing back in a 5, and that's my frustration. And I feel like Trippier can do both, and I'm not Trippier's greatest fan. I think he's okay, but I feel like we've got this crap right back who can do both. Why haven't we got a crap left back that can?
Yeah, I feel like the argument Pochettino would make to that would be that he would say formations aren't really important.
Yeah, he'd also say fuck off, you fat idiot! Like stop talking to me.
Yeah, I'll have another beer. Thanks
very
much.
You go, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Enjoy. The Wanyama and Dembele partnership. Has been sort of derided, I think, so far this season. Nobody seems to be 100% happy with it.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. Because I was surprised as well, but a lot of people said that they don't work together. They played it like maybe neither of them been fully fit together. But I thought it was really quite promising on Saturday evening.
Yeah, it is good, isn't it?
Mm. I mean, well, it's a bit Sandro Dembele when Dembele first came into the team. But
let's not forget Dier Dembele.
Mm.
I mean, I said about a month ago on here that I still would like to see Dier in there next to Dembele.
Yeah, no, that was more than a month.
Was it more than a month?
Yeah, it was after, I'll tell you when it was. It was after the Pep at the City 2-0 we were talking about.
No, it was after the Chelsea 2-0.
You said it after the City 2-0 as well. You said Dier was a better footballer than Wanyama.
Yeah, I still kind of agree with it.
Yeah, I disagree, but I can see why. I think it's amazing that we've got these two options as well. But for Dier, and I thought Dier and Toby did okay at centre back on Saturday, but I'm never that happy with it. I think it's because we've got that wonderful balance when Vertonghen's in the team to have the left footer, the right footer, who are so good, that have this partnership already built up from international and club level before us as well, at Ajax. It's just, we are a bit spoilt with that. And to have Dier as your third choice centre-back if you're playing a 4 is not the worst thing in the world.
No. I think the solution to all this is, even though Pochettino would say the formation's not important, it's about animation and style and personnel, blah, 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 basically, Spurs should try to sign a few players in the summer that make playing the 3 at the back possible with a couple of injuries.
Mm.
Because, well, assuming he wants to stick with that, which I'm guessing.
So what are those players then, in your opinion?
It probably does mean converting Davis to a left-sided centre-back or replacing him with someone who can play full-back. And then it probably means another centre-back as well. That would be all, I would have thought.
Yeah. I think I feel like we've needed to play the four,
or just a left back, and then Davis, like, is the other centre back.
I feel like something we've needed that central midfielder to cover. But then Winks has come in and done really well, and Dyer is, if he's going to play in that back three, he can be that reserve defensive midfielder. If I feel like we can sort of negate all of those problems with just getting at that attacking left back, and it's not going to be as easy as that. I completely understand it, and it's to find someone that's going to be happy to sit on the bench pretty much every single week. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think more of a problem is further up the pitch. But you know, we'll see.
Yeah, maybe a young player. What's a nice idea is, we've got to accept that Rose and Walker are probably the two best fullbacks in the Premier League, if not Europe even, or certainly up there. So you're not going to be able to upgrade on them. So why not slowly bring through Walker Peters on the right-hand side and sign a young left-back like Sessegnon at Fulham, slowly bring through and kind of hope that they'll get closer to the level of Walker and Rose than Davis and Trippier are able to do.
That would be unbelievable.
It's not mental, is it? I mean, Walker Peters is apparently very good.
But just to think that we can change system and still be able to bring in that backup that can play as well in those... they are specialist positions. I think that it's testament to Walker and Rose that not only in a four, if anything, it's almost as if we kind of train them really well to be defensively sound, only to kind of wind them up to just let them go when we move to three at the back, to say right now, all of that you've learned, forget it. You can just go forward all you want, and then we've got a front four, you know? I think it's amazing. Should we move on to Liverpool?
Yeah.
So, Anfield on... It's a Saturday evening kickoff again, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
I think so, yeah. I may be right. I'm pretty sure it's a Saturday 5:30.
You're right, because there was an issue. I was going to go. There was an issue.
Have you been bumped?
I think I've been bumped this week, but we're actually only getting, ESPN's only getting one press pass, so our poor old Liverpool guy's being bumped as well, I think.
Wow. Big game though, to be fair.
It is a big game.
Feels like it's one of those where, so last week Chelsea effectively knocked Arsenal out of the title race. I think the way that this is going to be billed this week is if Liverpool win, we're knocked out of the title race, and then the top four's all over the place with us, Arsenal, Liverpool, United, but if we win, the title's on, you know, like that is still.
Yeah. Chelsea have got to go to Burnley, who I think have the best home record in the Premier League.
Yeah, or they've certainly got a good one.
Up there with ours.
Very, very good one. I think they've only lost one. I think I can see why they're going to bill it as this. And it is a big game, actually, to be fair. And it was around about this time last year that we played them as well, and that was equally as important. And I think we went 1-0 down, and we came back to a draw. Kane scored a really, really good goal. It feels like we're in similar positions this year as well, doesn't it? It feels like two top four teams going against each other, but both very deep rooted in their philosophy of their manager. Can you see happening?
Well, I think first of all, the one thing Spurs are lacking from this season is a big away win. Hasn't happened yet. Last season, they got the big away win at City.
Yeah.
And that was really the moment, wasn't it, where everyone was like, well, this is on.
Mm.
Because they went to a title rival. Well, they were a title rival at the time, but I think that ended City's challenge, more or less.
Yeah.
Because Spurs went there, won away from home, knocked another team out of the title race.
That was almost a year to the day.
Was it?
Yeah. Because I was...
Was it in February?
It was in February. It's about February 14th.
Okay,
it's like Valentine's Day. Yeah, it was.
Okay,
So it's like almost a year.
And then you remember the celebration, Pochettino, Omens. Like marching from the dugout to the away fans, which was mint.
Yeah.
That was really good. So I think that's what Spurs are lacking there. And you're absolutely not going to be champions unless you get a couple of big away wins.
Well, I was thinking this last season, that City win was the only away win we had.
Yeah.
We lost at Old Trafford, we lost at we drew at Stamford Bridge, we drew at the Emirates, we drew at Anfield, and we beat City. This season, we've lost at Stamford Bridge, we drew at the Emirates, we've lost at Old Trafford.
Drew at Man City,
yeah, and then we've got Anfield, which is arguably the worst fixture that we've got left. And I appreciate this is Tottenham, and we've still got Arsenal at home, we've still got Man United at home towards the end of the season, and by then there's all sorts of scenarios that could be coming up which are too horrific to think about now, and let's not.
At least we can probably put to bed the Arsenal winning the league at White Hart Lane scenario. in the last North London derby.
Oh, which, for about two months,
it was like, oh, God, that's going to happen, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, sorry, I hadn't thought of that for a while, and I was just nearly vomited.
It was horrible. I didn't really think about it. Someone suggested to me.
No, like, yeah, that's a really good point to bring up, actually. Yeah, that looks as if it's not going to happen. And the same with United as well. But, yeah, Anfield's the big fixture, the last away one. Say, we've been to everywhere else, and we are lacking that win. It is a year, almost to the day, since that win at City that kind of propelled us. Things maybe falling into place.
It's what Spurs are lacking, definitely. It's going to be hard without Vertonghen and Rose, though. I do think, you know, you look back at, we've just been talking about it, and you look back at that October-November period, and there were all kind of things suggested at the time, and Pochettino had his own ideas, we had our own ideas, but really you look back at the team we played at Chelsea when Spurs lost 2-1.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just easy to understand why Spurs didn't win.
Yeah.
Because Danny Rose didn't play.
There's no mystery there, is there?
Alderweireld didn't play. Yeah. And I was like, well, no wonder they lost.
Yeah, Kane was still coming back to fitness as well, wasn't he? Yeah.
So Spurs have now got to go to Anfield, and you know, it might be a really frustrating day, but then I feel like in a month's time we might look back and go, well, hold on, Vertonghen didn't play, Rose didn't play, no wonder it was a frustrating day. Mm. But I hope not. I think they're on such wretched form that why not?
Yeah, they've not won in the league in
2017,
but they've only won one in 10 games, which covers the FA Cup as well. Plymouth away, which was, you know, they made a million changes and they only won 1-0 as well. So is this a perfect time to play them, or is it the worst time to play them? Because let's face it, we're still Tottenham, we're still Dr. Tottenham and all that, which I know that we're reversing, and it's just a bit of fun for us to say that, and Spursy and all of that, and we are taking steps to reverse that, but at the same time, there is still that element, you know.
I don't think it's really about us in that way. I think it's about them in that way.
Okay.
Because their form is so bad, and because they're playing a title rival and another big team, they'll their confidence will be low, but they'll just want to prove something, won't they?
And well, someone said
they won't. If he's struggling to motivate them for these games against Plymouth and whoever they just
Wolves,
lost,
Hull, yeah, Hull, Hull, yeah,
yeah. If he's struggling to motivate them for these games, and he's lost his touch a little bit, you don't really need, as a manager, to motivate your players for a game against the title rival, which, you know, is a six-pointer.
Well, they drew against Chelsea, and they came from behind as well, which I think is quite a big factor.
Yeah, so and as far as I know, they've dropped the fewest points against the other top six of everyone.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think Arsenal have dropped the most. And
above us?
Yes. We
really?
I think we've dropped 12. So defeats at
Stamford Bridge, Old
defeats
Trafford.
Stamford Bridge and Old Trafford, and then draws at Arsenal against Liverpool.
Oh, but we beat Chelsea and City.
Yeah,
but
we've won a couple. Yeah,
of course.
So,
yeah,
I think that they're good in these games, and yeah, it's probably doesn't really. I think it matters. Their form matters in that if Spurs can score first, their confidence is going to drop, and they're going to look fragile. But I don't think it will matter at the start of the game. I think they'll be bang up.
I really think they're going to, Klopp's going to order that their players go into it from minute one, because, you know, we are under strength at the back, and that is actually arguably our strength. Like, we've talked about Kane and Ali being these goal scorers up front, and they're having, again, a ridiculously good season in terms of that. But our strength is defence. But it isn't going to be with Ben Davies and... But what are we expecting? So Dyer, Alderweireld, Walker and Davies.
Same team against Middlesbrough. Yeah,
I would have thought so. But then, so that makes Dembele and Wanyama really important, doesn't it? To go away.
Yeah.
And that's got to be an experience. When I look at Wanyama away at City and how good he was when everyone else was, you know, just sort of like legs everywhere. We were nothing against City in that first half. But Wanyama was that kind of one. He got booked as well, didn't he? And after that booking, he was just really
He's been
sensible.
So disciplined, actually. One of the things I was a bit worried about was the fact that he got three red cards last season. Mm. And my mate who supports Southampton said to me, you've bought a player who's got really bad discipline and can't pass. And both those things have been completely blown out of the water.
Yeah, absolutely. He's not shown a weakness.
So, Fergus, if you're listening, you're a bloody fool.
Yeah, absolute moron. I think he's been our player of the season so far, actually, Wanyama, along with Rose, probably. It's a shame that Rose... Obviously, it's a shame that Rose got injured anyway, but, Wanyama's been the ever-present. And these are the sorts of games where we do need him as well. We need him to be, alongside Dembele, just hold the fort. You know, we're up against a team that has a lot of movement, and we struggled with that at White Hart Lane against Liverpool. I seem to remember Mane and Lallana, Firmino and Coutinho, right? Didn't take shreds off us, but they were really good against us because they can just move all over the place, and we couldn't quite keep up with it.
Yeah,
and that's going to be my worry on Saturday with Ben Davies. And
it is a worry because at some point Liverpool are going to turn it round.
Yeah,
they're not going to keep losing for the rest of 2017.
Mm.
Some point they're going to click again because they have got great players. And I know you had a personal vendetta against Lallana for a while, but I think he's great. I think Henderson's great as well.
I really like both of them, actually.
I happily
do you know what I don't like about Lallana? And I appreciate that I'm setting ourselves up for a brace.
He is their Lamella.
Yeah, I do think that is. And from the outside, if people watch Spurs, they wouldn't think Lamella's
exactly.
all that. And I think you're absolutely bang on there.
If you're...
They strike me... It's the same as... You know when... Because our... start again. Klopp's first game was us. And do you remember he came in after Rodgers and it was a game at White Hart Lane? It was like the game that Dembele properly announced himself as the midfielder, centre mid. Do you remember last season?
Yeah, I remember the game.
0-0.
Yeah, and Chadley went off.
Yes.
Injured.
No.
G came on and had a couple of chances.
Yeah,
I remember.
But Klopp has got this horrible knack of building a house out of crap. I think, and I feel like he's ridden that for a while now. And with Pochettino, because they're both project managers, they both come in and they try and improve players and they try and implement a system. You know, they try and get a group of players to work in a formation that may not be suited to them, but he will get their absolute best out of them. And I think, I can't remember who it was, but there was someone on Football Weekly, the Guardian Football Weekly this week, that said, like, he's got as much footballing ability out of that first 11 as he possibly can. But at the end of the day, they're jobbers. You know, Henderson and Chan in central midfield, yeah, good legs on them, good running, lots of energy, will, you know, both sort of that balls out captain kind of style. But at the end of the day, they can't play a particularly good pass. And with Lallana, Coutinho, Firmino, they're all great, but who's finishing? Who, you know, who's at the end of it? Who's the Kane in the box to get that one chance and score? Almost Son as well. Who's that
I
one guy that they've got?
It's a travesty that Daniel Sturridge isn't the first name on the team sheet.
Mm.
I think he's great.
Yeah.
And in fact, the last time I watched him, he was terrible. Who would I have watched them play against on TV recently when Daniel Sturridge started?
Us?
No. A couple of weeks ago.
Don't know. They've played Chelsea. They've
Southampton
in the cup,
and he was really bad. But he was rusty. I think he's a great goal scorer, and he's had so many injury problems that it's a shame. But look, I'm not sure I agree with that. I think Lallana and Henderson are kind of better than jobbers. But the problem that Klopp and Pochettino have had so far is their teams just tend to cancel each other out.
Mm.
Like one of the teams will start at a really ridiculous tempo and press the other one relentlessly. Then that team will get a bit tired and drop back, and the other one will have a go at sort of pushing forward a bit. Mm. And they've just tended to negate each other. And you can sort of see it happening again. Can't
yeah,
you?
I hate them so much.
The game against Anfield, I remember last season was, I think it was kind of the game where you sort of felt like the title wasn't going to happen, wasn't it?
But at the same time, I mean,
it was.
We went 1-0 down. Yeah, I was battered. Everyone was smashed. Yeah.
But I feel like that was a game where I actually thought Spurs weren't quite good enough to be champions.
That was the end of the game. Pochettino was hitting the ground.
Yeah,
punching the ground, and that was a missed opportunity because we were on top.
It was a missed opportunity. Yeah, and Spurs had a lot of the ball in really good positions in that game. I remember that there were a lot of times where they were kind of bursting into the final third, and I remember thinking that was the game where it just became evident that Spurs didn't quite have the cuteness in the final third or that extra 2% to...
Do you remember when United used to go to Anfield? And
well, not really.
Well, but
elaborate.
But they would have that, you know, Van Nistelrooy would...
Yeah, that's
you know,
it. I mean,
shithouse someone off, for lack of a better term, in the six-yard box score. Forlan, even. Like, these players that weren't actually... But...
And it feels ridiculous to sort of suggest that, because I'm not suggesting that Leicester had any kind of cuteness in the final third, but, you know, it was like Spurs needed that extra little bit of something in that game.
Mm.
And it was a tiny bit unsubtle. And actually, I still think that's a problem. I think at Sunderland, that was a problem.
Yeah.
Sometimes this season, Pochettino's talked about a problem transitioning the ball from back to front and getting the ball into the final third. And what I tweeted after the Middlesbrough game was that in the last two games, Spurs have had no problems getting the ball into the final third. They've got Dembele and Wanyama, who are both good on the ball, both able to pass it, basically. Alderweireld makes a huge difference because he's so good at passing, but it's not quite happening when they get around the opposition penalty area. They're either trying to do too much, trying to walk it in, or missing the last pass. And I think that's something that Spurs can work on.
Okay. Do you want to do a prediction for it, or is that...
I think it will be a draw.
I'm going to go 1-1. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be 1-1. But
wouldn't surprise me if we go down.
You know,
again.
It wouldn't surprise me if Chelsea draw at Burnley.
Mm.
So...
Which would be annoying.
Yeah, it would be horrible.
Do you, just quickly, we've not actually beaten Liverpool in eight league games, which is horrific.
That is so awful.
But in that time, so we finished below Liverpool once in the last, I'm going to say, since our first fourth place under Harry, which was 09-10. So we're looking at 7 years, 8 years?
I think so, yeah.
We've not finished below them. We finished below them once in that ridiculous season that they had when they...
Suarez and Sturridge season, yeah.
The title slipped. Yet, Liverpool have won, I think in that time, an FA Cup, maybe a League Cup as well. They've got to a... UEFA Cup or Europa League final in that time, probably quite a few semi-finals and finals in that time as well. I just wanted to have a quick discussion about this, but even when Liverpool have been shit and we've been at our best, which has been in the last 7 years, in terms of success, we've won nothing and we've got in the Champions League twice out of those 7 years. They've still had this, you know, regardless of form, regardless of the crap players that they've had and the nonsense they've been run or they've had running them, they've still got to finals and they've still won a couple of trophies. Do you think this is a culture thing between two clubs? And do you think it's something that still the last hurdle that we need to get over? You know, we need to, doesn't matter what sort of season we're having, a bad season is only winning the League Cup. You know, or is that too broad a question?
I think... You're right in a way, but then I also feel like that is kind of symptomatic of modern football. So when you are a club of Liverpool size that is going to have good players, no matter how poorly you're performing or no matter how crap your manager is, which is true of Liverpool over the last 7 or 8 years, they've always had good players.
Yeah, but Dalglish, Hodgson out of two out of 3 years.
But if the Sherwood era at Tottenham taught us anything, it's that it doesn't really matter what your manager is. Good players will normally win football games. And I believe that.
Yeah.
If you have good players and you're not really fighting for anything come this time of year or come the business end of the season, then you can afford to go for the cups. And I think I haven't got all the details or results in front of me, but I suspect that a lot of those finals and trophies that Liverpool have won have been because they've been out of the mix for the title and out of the mix for fourth place, And so they're therefore able to go, right, we're going to go for this.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And
yeah.
So in a way, the fact that they've been able to do that and Spurs haven't has been symptomatic of the fact that Spurs are normally fighting for the Champions League, and the fact that the Premier League is kind of and Champions League have kind of swallowed everything.
Mm.
And it's become more important to finish fourth and more important to finish as high up as possible than it has to get your hands on silverware. I'm not saying that's good. In fact, it's probably a bad thing. But I don't think it's necessarily a stick to beat Tottenham with, because it just shows that become sort of March, April, where you have to, or no, February, March, in fact, where you have to prioritise. Tottenham have normally prioritised the Premier League.
Mm.
And for a few of those years, definitely, certainly last year, Liverpool were able to say, well, we know we're not going to finish fourth. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and they got to the Europa League final.
We're going to go for the Cups. And actually, I've said it before on here, but when you actually go for the Europa League and FA Cup, they're not that hard to win.
Yeah,
because they're just not.
So we're almost a victim of our own success,
in a way.
But
I wouldn't rule out the fact that there is. I believe also that clubs there's a culture ingrained at football clubs. So
yeah,
they do. You know, it was
which
like
we need
Spurs,
don't we?
And I never get tired of my. Just because I read my Brian Clough book, I never get tired of the Brian Clough point.
Yeah, go on.
Which is that he said the biggest thing in winning the European Cups was winning the Anglo-Scottish Cup.
Yeah.
Which no one's ever heard of. And I loved it. There's a whole four,
I've said it
four
before, Mourinho,
it.
Mourinho does it every single club he goes to, and he's probably going to do it at United this season. You turn up, you teach
your players what it feels like
what
to
it
win,
feels like to win.
How to win.
But the one thing I'll caveat that with is when we lost to Chelsea in the League Cup final, Pochettino made our players stand on the pitch and watch Chelsea lift the cup, didn't they? Didn't he? That is almost the same thing, in my opinion,
this is
how it feels like to lose. But then is it how it feels like to lose? So what?
The best day I've ever had in my life was when.
This will be good.
Was when I won a cup in football. I just moved to London.
Okay.
From Newcastle, from uni, and we made 11-a-side team. It was just a like random bunch of slightly odd people, and we had a great striker. Shout out to Tommy Trenchard. Scored about 35 goals.
That's a great striker name. Yeah. Tommy Trenchard.
He's now
no fucking way that you've made that up.
No, serious. He's now a tremendously well-respected journalist, like in Sierra Leone or something. But that's beside the point.
Get in.
He's like we won against all odds. We were pretty crap, and we somehow got this kind of local London Cup final. It was played at Wembley, and I say that in inverted commas because it was Wembley FC, so it was like round the corner.
Mm, yeah,
but a little stadium, and we beat this really good team 3-2, and like it's an amazing feeling.
Yeah.
And I think you can't replicate that. And
had you lost that?
Had we lost that?
And your manager or the person that takes you for beers after?
Yeah.
Had he made you stand on the pitch and watch a better team lift a trophy?
No.
Do you think you would have been inspired for next year, or
well,
would you?
No, I'd have been pissed off because I wanted to get the Metropolitan line home. And
yeah, that is annoying. It's annoying at the best of times. But yeah. Where did you play?
I played right wing.
Did you? Are you quick? Yeah. Are you nippy? Or are you an inside forward?
I'm a bit Beckham. I'm quite good at I'm quite good technique. I can cross.
A bit Beckham?
As in, not quick.
Right, okay.
But I work hard, quite fit, and I can cross. So that's,
okay,
that's an
yeah,
all right
yeah,
comparison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to play centre-back if I played, yeah, because I had no pace. So it was just the last line of defence, basically. But I could pass. It's a decent passer, yeah.
We should play sometime.
Bit Eric Dier, in my opinion, in my apparently non-humble opinion. Should we do some listener questions?
I promise Sean will do his.
Yeah, okay. Do Sean Walsh, 97, who is
friend of the pod.
Yep, massive friend of the pod. Go on.
You normally do them.
Oh, sorry. I'll do it. Sean asks... would you rather be 4 foot or 8 foot? You can see why he's a friend of the pod.
I didn't want to answer this, but I promise.
No, you promised.
I promise, Sean.
What would you rather be, 4 foot or 8 foot?
He's basically saying, would I rather be Hagrid or Professor Flitwick?
Is that what he's asking?
Well, more or less.
Is that Harry Potter?
Yes.
I don't.
Okay. I think I'd rather be 4 foot.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, first of all, 8 foot, you would die fairly quickly.
Yeah.
But you can't be that big. I feel like no one's 8 foot. It's so freaky. You wouldn't be able to you wouldn't, like, every single doorway would be too big.
I think you're underestimating what 4 foot is. I think you're really underestimating hard life would be.
I'm 6'2". You're not short enough. Two-thirds of me.
Yeah, exactly. It's two-thirds of what you are now. You're not, like, that's not short enough to get a seat on the tube.
But the thing is, there are plenty of people who are 4 foot, who are very...
Aaron Lennon's made a career. But
I feel like I'm straying into the realms of political incorrectness here. But I think there's lots of 4 foot people. They're
living
doing
rich,
fine.
Full lives.
There's no one 8 foot. I don't think anyone's 8 foot.
No. But you make a good striker. You would make it. You could make a professional career.
Make a career in basketball or something.
You could make a good career out of being 8 foot, but yeah,
being
maybe
a bouncer
you
or something.
Die at 45.
When I was actually at Uni in Newcastle, I saw the smallest man in the world.
Okay. Where?
In a bar.
What was he doing?
He was there for something. His career is being
small.
Being the smallest man in the world. So he does shows and stuff. And he was one of the nightclubs that, like, it was like a student night. You could go and see him. Yeah, you could. Like, stop making me laugh. I didn't go and see him, but we went I think it was like Anton Deck's bar. I can't remember what it was called, but he was in there afterwards. And I don't want to offend anyone.
No, but if he's billing himself as the smallest man in the world.
He's quite scary because he looks less like a... He's less like a man, more like an action man. I'm serious. He sits on. He's got minders, and he was like sitting on their shoulders.
Fuck off!
I'm serious.
Oh, fucking hell! Is this real?
No, I'm serious. It's real.
Oh my god! Right, so you went and saw him.
I didn't go and see him.
Oh, right.
I didn't see him. But he happened to be in the bar.
So you'd rather be that?
No, because he's not 4 foot. He's like 2 foot.
Right. Okay. But I'd rather be tall.
You'd rather be okay.
I reckon I could make. I reckon I could make a Premier League career out of being 8 foot.
No. Let's move on from this.
Yeah, no, we have to. That's just really, really funny. Should we do a final question?
Yeah.
A-Torty @_Spurs. When do we start comparing Toby to Ledley, and which do you think makes the better centre-back?
Ooh.
Definitely something that's come up quite a few times.
I don't think he'll ever be compared to Ledley because Ledley came through the ranks.
Yeah,
Ledley,
cup winner.
Ledley was one of our own. Toby's,
cup winner.
Sorry,
cup winner. Ledley was a cup winner.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the
I think
main.
That's puts him above quite. Like, I think that's a massive, huge part of why people love Ledley.
Do you really?
Yeah,
I don't agree with that.
I think it's amongst everything else.
I think Ledley is loved because he's a homegrown player who was exceptionally talented and he stayed at Tottenham his whole career. I feel like the Carling Cup 2008, as great as it was, and obviously a last trophy.
No, I reckon that was the... Everyone was... I reckon everyone is delighted. If Toby went...
Think?
I think King was so good, we felt like we couldn't give a fuck what trophy it was as long as we got him a trophy. And we did, and we got him a trophy.
Okay, well...
And there are many reasons why King couldn't stay with us, did stay with us for so many years.
But that sort of implies that if Alderweireld wins the Premier League this year, he'll be on a par, or he'll
yeah, he
trump...
Will.
king?
Yeah. Yeah, he will.
No, what are you on about? That's nonsense.
It's not nonsense.
Yes, it is. King... No, mate. King is king, the king, because he came through the ranks at Tottenham. He was he's one of our own, in much the same way that Kane is. In much the same way that you wouldn't be able to compare Kane and Toby if they both win the Premier League this year, because Kane is a
fair enough. Or Kane and Bale, let's say, okay, fair enough. I think
talent wise, Toby is up there with Ledley, but I think in the way that he'll be viewed by Spurs fans in the future, even if he wins a couple of trophies, it will never be the same.
I think something else to take into consideration is that Toby never had to play with Ant Gardner.
He never had to.
He never got Ant Gardner in
voice
England.
Cracked
cap.
Up with emotion there. Yeah. Or Alton Thelwell.
Yeah, or Alton Thelwell. I don't think it's that ridiculous to say that Toby is up there with King.
He is.
I don't think it's that ridiculous at all.
Toby has that King-esque quality of making everyone he plays with 10% better.
I think Toby might have that as well, because we talk about Vimmer.
King. Toby has that King-esque quality.
Oh, right, yeah.
And Vimmer is the classic example, but when he was out of the team, it felt like the whole back four was just less confident, less sure of themselves, just less good.
And we unfortunately just had far too many occasions where we had to do that with King, wasn't it? Okay, we'll make that the last question. That was an interesting Tottenham Way podcast. I don't think I've ever laughed quite that hard at a Tottenham Way podcast. But thank you for being part of it, Dan, as ever.
Thank you for joining me.
You joined me.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Check out Dan's article with Kane on esbnfc.co.uk. Really looking forward to reading that when I get out of here. Enjoy the game on Saturday against Liverpool. We'll be back on Monday with a Liverpool review and a preview of... I haven't looked past Anfield, Dan, so do you know who it is?
No.
We'll work it out. But yeah, enjoy your week. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Bye. Say bye, Dan.
Bye-bye.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.